From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. After trying and failing for years to repeal the Affordable Care Act, Republicans in Congress are buoyed by Donald Trump's announcement on Thursday that he was signing an executive order that single-handedly cripples Obamacare. Trump's order issues a new set of rules allowing for cheaper health insurance plans that do not have to adhere to the minimum standards of the Affordable Care Act to be available and sold across state lines. Senator Rand Paul, who had opposed the last two Republican healthcare-related legislative efforts for not going far enough, appeared by the president's side on Thursday. This is how Trump explained what he was doing.
I will sign an executive order taking the first steps to providing millions of Americans with Obamacare relief. It directs the Department of Health and Human Services, the Treasury, and the Department of Labor to take action to increase competition, increase choice, and increase access to lower-priced, high-quality health care options. And they will have so many options. This will cost the United States government virtually nothing. And people will have great, great health care. And when I say people, I mean by the millions and millions. First, we aim to allow more small businesses to form associations to buy affordable and competitive health insurance. This would open up additional options for employers to purchase the health plans their workers want. I'm also directing Secretary Acosta to consider ways to expand these associations and these health care plans all across state lines. This will create tremendous competition and transformative in so many ways, change aimed at creating more and lower prices for millions of Americans. But the competition will be staggering. Insurance companies will be fighting to get every single person signed up. And you will be hopefully negotiating. And you'll get such low prices for such great care. Should have been done a long time ago, and it could have been done a long time ago.
That is Donald Trump on Thursday before signing the executive order to undermine the Affordable Care Act. We turn now to Michael Leite, the Director of Public Policy for National Nurses United. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sonali. How are you?
So I'm doing well. Thanks so much for joining us. So Trump promising such better care, so much better care for much, much less money on Thursday. What exactly, as far as you understand, is he proposing to do? And how does he, how is what he is requiring allowable, given that the Affordable Care Act is the law of the land?
Well, President Trump is trying to exploit a loophole in the law that allows what are called association plans, which are essentially are a conglomerate of individuals or businesses into an association that can then offer a plan like large employers do. And these association plans were regulated under the Obama administration so that they couldn't undermine the standards of the Affordable Care Act. But that was done through regulation. So essentially what the Trump administration is doing is saying, no, we're not going to regulate them in the way the Obama administration did, which was to protect the viability of the health exchanges under the Affordable Care Act. We're going to let them run free. And what that means essentially is that these individuals or businesses can form an association, contract with an insurer, and be relieved of many of the requirements of the ACA. Mm-hmm.
So they can basically buy or offer plans to their employees that do not have to meet those minimum standards, those basic minimum standards. One of the few good things about the ACA was that it basically said you cannot have plans that simply refuse to cover some very basic health issues. Now, by expanding these associations, companies will basically offer less care for less money, right?
That's right. And it is the other concern that the Obama administration had was that if you allow these plans to exist or you allow individuals to form groups, that's a huge incentive for employers to drop coverage, because then they're relieved of having to cover their workers who have now joined this other group. So it has a very negative effect in both respects.
And so then, of course, those employees become beholden to what the insurer decides they're going to do. And once they have a captive pool, that insurer could do whatever they want with the price or the coverage.
Exactly. And now they have some limits on, they can't overturn the pre-existing condition prohibition. You're still going to have kids on the plan until 26. So there are certain things they can't change, but they have a huge amount of flexibility beyond that in terms of benefits. And the reality is that this is just a way for those people who are temporarily healthy to pay less as a premium. But once they get sick, they're going to be in serious trouble, both financially and in terms of their health.
So Trump said several times about how staggering the competition was going to be. And he basically gave the impression that he was now unleashing the ability of insurers to lower prices. Millions of Americans would have Obamacare relief. He said it would increase competition, increase choice. They will have so many options, and it's going to cost the government virtually nothing. These people will have great health care, millions and millions of people, and the competition will be staggering. He talked about creating tremendous competition and transformative change. Really?
Really? It's hard to say with a straight face. Okay. The only problem with all that is the insurance companies don't really want to do this. Huh. And the state insurance commissioners who regulate health plans aren't going to give up their authority just because he's created this new entity that can sell plans across state lines.
I see. So states could actually regulate this, but then it depends on what the, you know, but, you know, state like California is going to be very different than a state like Texas.
Exactly. And so this David Jones, the insurance commissioner, Dave Jones, the insurance commissioner in California, is not just going to certify a plan just because the Trump administration wants him to, and he has that authority. So it's not, this is, first of all, just a ruse. It's a symbolic play to pretend to his base that, yeah, I'm giving you an option, when in fact, there's a real question about whether any of it can actually happen.
What will the expansion of these associations, which I understand was something that Senator Rand Paul was pushing for, which is why he appeared behind Trump on Thursday morning as he was announcing the executive order, what would these set of rules do to the Affordable Care Act as a whole? Can the act and its intention to make healthcare insurance affordable and cover as many people as possible, will it preserve that or destroy that?
It'll undermine it. It may destroy it. I mean, the premise of the Affordable Care Act is that everybody has to buy insurance. So you've got a risk pool that will include healthy and those who need more care. Once you create an avenue for those who are, as I say, temporarily healthy to go buy a cheaper plan, you're going to create plans that are overly burdened by those who need a lot of health care. And so that destabilizes the insurance marketplace. Now, our view is that that's inherent in this kind of tax subsidized, you know, purchase of private insurance. But for those who believe that this reform can maintain a level of coverage, this is hugely destabilizing.
A person who, Karen Politz, a senior fellow at the Kaiser Family Foundation, said that within a year, this would kill the market if these rules, new rules were to be implemented quickly. So certainly that part remains to be seen. Another way in which the Trump administration has attempted to undermine the Affordable Care Act is the issue of the employer mandate on contraception, which was in the news recently. What exactly is has the Trump administration been able to do on this front?
Well, we'll see if they get away with it legally again. And just like this announcement Thursday, this the prior announcement about contraceptive coverage essentially lets the employer dictate terms. And both in the case of the association plans, where they can just tell people go off and find another group, we're not going to provide coverage, they now can tell their workers, hey, my religious beliefs are going to dictate what kind of health care you have. And that's essentially what it means, is that the religious views of an employer override a worker's need for health care. And contraception is a multifaceted treatment, essentially. It prevents pregnancy also, but there are other uses as well related to other hormonal conditions and so forth. So this is real, real nasty business that employers can now interfere with women's not reproductive choices bad enough, but their actual need for healthcare treatments can be determined by an employer's religion is really a new low. And I think there's a real question about, whether they can get away with this legally.
Now, didn't the Supreme Court a few years ago rule on the issue of the employer mandate on contraception in the case over Hobby Lobby? Didn't it already strike that mandate down?
It struck it down, but what it really did was enable the employers to not eliminate health insurance options that cover contraception, but rather have those workers who wanted that coverage to have an option in order to pay for it themselves. That's different from what the Trump administration is doing now. Now they're saying you don't even have to offer that option.
I see. So here, this is another sort of a two for one. They get to undermine the Affordable Care Act and continue the assault on women's health. This step that Trump took with the executive order on Thursday, going back to what we started talking about, is this an attempt by the Republican Party to basically say, we failed to do this legislatively, and so we're going to get behind Trump and do this via executive order, do it by fiat, exploit a loophole, and essentially play the same kinds of tricks that they deeply criticized the Obama administration for doing, you know, abusing the executive authority.
That's it. That's it, Sonali. Exactly. I mean, they claim executive overreach when it comes to saving our planet from climate destruction. But when it comes to women's health, sure, they'll do anything to restrict access and control women's bodies. It's outrageous. It's theocratic. And it is unacceptable in a democratic society.
So here on out for the Affordable Care Act, what lies in the future? You know, we shouldn't forget that there is a Medicare for All bill in the Senate and also one in the House. I know some people have some concerns about the Senate version introduced by Sanders. John Conyers has a bill that he's repeatedly brought up in the House. And the Republicans were panicked when Sanders brought up the Medicare for All bill with a number of prominent Democratic co-sponsors after the Republicans had yet again failed to do anything constructive on health care.
That's right. I mean, S-1804 has the strong support of National Nurses United, and also the H.R. 676 is strongly supported by us as well. And what I think the Republicans are afraid of is, gee, we've tried everything else in healthcare reform except actually building upon the program Medicare that's popular and works. So, hey, why don't we try that? And of course, a majority of Americans want to do that. That political momentum is changing and scrambling the dynamic in Washington, because all of a sudden, the Republicans realize that there is this option out there that even many of their own members in among the Republican voters prefer. People like Medicare, whether you're Republican or Democrat. And the notion that businesses could save literally millions of dollars and create new resources for innovation and growth because we adopted Medicare for All is very appealing to business owners who are part of the Republican Party. So I think there is a real challenge there. What is problematic about the kind of health plans that that President Trump would have us do as a result of his Thursday announcement is that they will be low premium but very high deductible,
right,
very high out-of-pocket costs. And that's what people are actually afraid of, is that I'm going to have to spend this money on my pocket that I simply don't have, and therefore I won't get the health care I need.
Right, medical bankruptcy being one of the lead causes of financial distress to individuals here in the United States. This would only further increase that problem, particularly when there are unexpected medical conditions, as most medical conditions are, or many are. Michael, give out the website for National Nurses United, or a site that you think is a good place for people to follow the issue of healthcare. We didn't even get to talk about California, but we will in the future, and we have in the past already.
Exactly. So yeah, nationalnursesunited.org, great resource. Healthcarenow.org, another great resource. for grassroots activists.
We'll post links to those from our site. Michael, thanks so much as always.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Michael Leite, Director of Public Policy for National Nurses United. We've been discussing Trump's executive order signed on Thursday morning to undermine the Affordable Care Act. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.